What you need to start your day.
Tim Dennis in the morning on News Talk 610 CKTV.
In January 1982, the Commodore 64 personal computer was introduced with a 64K built-in memory for under $600. So to stay even with Commodore in memory and price, IBM will have to slash its price, quadruple its memory. Apple will also be faced with a sizable chore, and so will Atari. As Shearson American Express put it, the Commodore 64 could be the microcomputer industry's outstanding new product introduction since the birth of the industry.
Wow. Everybody had to have one, but none of us could afford it. Well, it's not true. A few of us went out and bought them. And this month is the 30th anniversary of that venerable Commodore 64. Sid Bolton, our friend from the PC Museum in Brantford. Morning, Sid.
Good morning.
30 years since that beast, huh?
I know, and you know, every time I hear that commercial, it brings me right back to the first time I ever played with one of those computers. So,
what were you thinking when you saw it the first time?
You know, the 64, I actually saw it originally on TVO, had a series called Bits and Bytes, and I had seen it on there, and it just looked so great because it had such great graphics and sound for the time compared to the other computers. I was used to using the Commodore PET, which was monochrome, and it didn't really have sound. So the 64 was just an amazing thing at the time.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what was it that appealed to people about the 64? I mean, we're so blasé about it now because we've got, you know, even our iPhones are like 17,000 times more powerful than a Commodore 64. But what was it about the 64 that caught people's attention? What did it do that nothing else had done up until then?
Well, in terms of what it had for hardware, it was a little bit better graphics than what was out on the market at the time. The sound was actually a big sort of defining factor for the Commodore 64. Even today, there are still musicians like Timbaland and other people that are using these 64s because the sound chip was so good and so unique. It was actually done by someone who was really into audio, and so that made a big difference. But the thing that really made it possible for people to own a 64 was really the price. I mean, it was $595 US when it came out, which of course today, in today's dollars, would be still very expensive for a computer. But at the time, the closest competitors were $900 and $1,200. So it was really, really a good price that sort of brought computing to the masses, because at that time, the only people that had computers were people that were very wealthy.
Yeah, we didn't think about being able to actually have one in the house until the 64 came along, and as you say, made it affordable, and it was also the first time that major retailers had actually offered the things, right?
That's true. Up until that point, computers had only been sold in specialty stores, electronics stores. The 64 was actually sold in places like Kmart and Canadian Tire. Actually, we have an ad at the Personal Computer Museum that actually says, Canadian Tire, your home computer headquarters. And when you think about that today, Canadian Tire certainly doesn't come to mind as a computer retailer, but at the time they were very big with selling 64s.
1982, 30 years ago, I listened to that ad and I was so a little surprised that it mentioned Apple. Was Apple a major player at that point?
Yeah, the Apple II had actually been out for several years at that point and was very, because of a program called VisiCalc, which was the first real spreadsheet, it was actually really, really entrenched in small business. And so the Apple II was really sort of a little bit more of an elitist machine, which, boy, that sounds familiar, the way Apple is today.
Mm-hmm.
But really, because of the price was more expensive and everything, it just they actually sold it in more homes than they expected to. But because of VisiCalc, that's really what made the Apple product sort of shine. And but everyone, you know, once they saw the 64 and what it could do, and the games, of course, were just amazing at the time. And really, that's the only reason we all have computers, right?
Yeah, oh, it's true. I mean, well, think about it today. It's the only reason we have iPhones to play Angry Birds.
That's right.
But, you know, you've got your Angry Birds there. You've got people still playing The Sims and those kinds of things on their computers. What kinds of things were software makers offering for a Commodore 64? What was the must-have game when that came out?
Well, there was a couple of them. There was a company called Epix that made these summer games and winter games programs, which were very, very popular. And there was also a great game called Jumpman, which was just amazing for the time. And actually, it was originally created for the Atari 8-bit computer, but it turned out that it actually sold better and did much better on the Commodore 64. And there was a whole bunch of them. There was Impossible Mission was one of the first games that actually had synthesized speech in it. You could actually hear someone speaking at the beginning of the game, and it was actually a person talking, and it